Hello and welcome to our 48th and final study in the book of Deuteronomy. My name is Michael Moret. This is Scripture Verse by Verse. And today we pick up our study in Deuteronomy 33, verse 18. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to the word that we are going to study today. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. Picking up right where we left off, Deuteronomy 33:18. Moses, really his final speech before he dies, is speaking words of prophecy concerning each of the 12 tribes that make up the nation Israel. And he gets to the tribe of Zebulun in verse 18, and he says, "And of Zebulun," he says, "rejoice, Zebulun, in your going out, and Issachar, in your tents." Zebulun's going out would be going out to sea. They were the maritime tribe. Issachar, on the other hand, they pretty much hung close to home. They were a scholarly tribe. Verse 19, "They shall call the peoples to the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall partake of the abundance of the seas and of treasures hidden in the sand." Zebulun and Issachar were different in their priorities, but they would call people to the mountain, and that would be the Temple Mountain, talking about God. They'd worship God and urge others to do it as well. By their words and by their example, they would lead both Jew and Gentiles to God, at least for part of the time that they were in the Holy Land. Verse 20, "And of Gad," he said, "blessed is he who enlarges Gad. He dwells as a lion and tears the arm and the crown of his head." God. God granted the tribe of Gad a large inheritance in the Holy Land. And God is praised and thanked for it right here in verse 20. 21. "He provided the first part for himself, because a lawgiver's portion was reserved there. He came with the heads of the people. He administered the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel. God took some of the best land and gave it to Gad." And here it says that Gad took some of the best land for himself. Or it is a tribe, so I will say itself. Gad did these things, or he did things in general God's way, and he also enforced God's law, at least for a time anyway, while they were in the Holy Land. And then later on, like the rest of the tribes, they committed idolatry and were in big trouble with the Lord and were punished because of it. Verse 22, "And of Dan," he said, "Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan like a lion. Dan was known for its boldness and strength." If in no one else, this prophecy was fulfilled in Samson, who came from the tribe of Dan. 23, "And of Naphtali," he said, "O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full of the blessing of the Lord, possessed the west and the south." This tribe was famous for the words that they spoke. God blessed them with that ability and with favor with man as a result. You know, a person who can express themselves clearly and really crystallize in words what other people think, that person's going to have a following and a measure of popularity. And Naphtali, that tribe, was known for producing people like that. 24, "And of Asher," he said, "Asher is most blessed of sons. Let him be favored by his brothers, and let him dip his foot in oil." Now, that's not talking about motor oil. But notice in verse 24 when it says of Asher, "most blessed of sons." Well, you know, many children were given to the tribe of Asher. And That is what made them most blessed. Because back in those days, many children meant big blessing in that society. And they were most blessed because they had such large numbers, and it was all from God. 25, your sandals shall be iron and bronze. As your days, so shall your strength be. The territory of Asher was strongly fortified. It was as if it was protected with walls of bronze and walls of iron. 26, there is no one like the God of Jeshurun, and Jeshurun refers to Israel, who rides the heavens to help you, and in his excellency on the clouds. God is pictured here in verse 26, riding through the skies like a hero, coming to rescue the one that he cares about, and of course that would be the nation Israel. I don't know if Israel really ever realized how good they had it and what a privilege it was to be God's chosen people. 27, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy before you and will say, destroy. God supported Israel, carried them through the rough times. Underneath are the everlasting arms. The arms of God carrying them. And, you know, God does the same for Christians today, who will go to Him and seek Him during their difficult times. 28. Then Israel shall dwell in safety, the fountain of Jacob alone, in a land of grain and new wine. His heavens shall also drop dew. Israel lived securely. God jumped to their aid and protected and supported them as they walked with Him. 29. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty? Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places. No single nation was ever as fortunate as Israel. God saved them. God shielded them. God fought for them. God gave them victories. These things all belong to Israel when they walked with God like they were supposed to. And of course, they lost them when they rebelled against God. And now let's go into the final chapter, chapter 34, verse 1. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead, as far as Dan, all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah, as far as the western sea, the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. And I will tell you this, Moses had very good eyesight, but not good enough to see all the holy land that God showed him here. There's no way. God clearly did a miracle, did something to Moses' eyes, strengthened his eyes in a supernatural way to see the entire land. Moses saw the farthest corners of the Holy Land on every side. 4. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there. God caused Moses to see the land. As I said, the Lord strengthened his sight to be able to view it all. It was a miracle. And it was very gracious of God. But Moses, because of his bad behavior in that one instance, will not go in. It is very important to do everything God's way, because you never know which act of disobedience will cost you big. You never know which single act of disobedience will be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Verse 5. So Moses The servant of the Lord died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. Moses died, just as God said he would. 6. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his grave to this day. God buried Moses himself. God believes in monuments and memorials, but for some reason he decided to keep Moses' grave a secret. Maybe the Israelites would have ended up worshiping it if they knew where it was, because Moses was such a hero to the nation. 7. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. Moses could see like a young man, and he could move like a young man right up until the day of his death at age 120. The Jews write that the glory of God that lit Moses' face stayed with him until the day that he died. Now, that may have been what preserved him, but either way, it was definitely the Lord who did it. 8. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. On the 8th day of the month, which corresponded with our month, March, the Israelites stopped moaning for Moses. That was on day 8. On day 9, they packed up. On the 10th day, they crossed the Jordan River and went into the Holy Land. It was time to move on. Moses is gone. It's a new beginning. Verse 9. Now Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. The plan of God continued. It was a smooth transition from Moses to Joshua, because the same Holy Spirit of God was in both of them. The people recognized that, and they listened to Joshua as they did Moses. God's obedient people follow a godly servant of the Lord because they know in their heart that it is right, and they knew that it was right to follow Joshua, just as it had been right to follow Moses. 10. But since then, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. The difference between Moses and all the other prophets of God is that those other prophets, as wonderful as they were, they all got their messages through dreams, visions, and maybe angels. Moses received his messages from God himself while he was awake, face to face. Which may have been why Moses was held to such a high standard by God, and why that one act of blatant disobedience cost him the promised land. I say that because the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is expected. 11. In all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, before Pharaoh, before all his servants, and in all his land. The number of miracles and the duration of the miracles, like the 40 years of manna and the clothes that didn't wear out and the shoes that didn't wear out on the Israelites during 40 years of traveling, and the water that they kept getting from that rock, gave them water in the desert. Man, all those things, those fantastic miracles, according to the word of God, went unsurpassed by any other miracles done by any other prophet. Verse 12. And by all that mighty power and all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel, nothing can compare with the power of God working through Moses. God did great things through that man, and the Israelites were eyewitnesses to it all. Moses is dead. Next book we look at is the book of Joshua, and it picks up right where Deuteronomy left off. Thank you for joining me for our study in the book of Deuteronomy. And until next time, Michael Murat here. So long, everyone.